Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 495. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you'd like to have an audio tape or a CD. They're free, including the postage and handling. I have a fantastic message for you today from the Lord, one that is able to spirit you more closer to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you if you're really of the Lord, if you're born again of the Spirit. But if you're an Achan, the Bible talks of a man named Achan that stole. He sinned, and the sin of that one man troubled the entire camp of Israel. And people started dying, and everything started happening. And so the Lord has told me that I'm going to receive $1 trillion, and there are Achans in every church. And that does not exclude mine. And this is why I am so upset, angry, grieved with people that are false soldiers of the Lord. The common soldier, in other words, the hireling, the one that just is interested in a place to sleep, food every day, and to get their teeth taken care of. Susie saw all those kind of phonies years back. And she wanted them out of the church. She just said, just discouraged her to the point where she didn't want to even win any more people because she saw that there were so many phonies. Because there's so many Achans, and the enemy has sent in so many false soldiers. The common soldier or the hireling is ordinarily looks no higher than his paycheck. And, you know, the federal government was trying to make me give paychecks to everyone in the church after they were taken off the street. Some of them were living in parks, laying on park benches, sleeping on toilet seats in gas stations all night long, and were generally puking on the street. This is a term that we used in show business, in the record industry. A puker is somebody that just really doesn't want exert any initiative at all. And they don't care. They don't believe the Bible enough to believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and they're going to find out. But, you know, it's amazing how clear the Lord makes the scriptures to me and what the meaning of them are. These false soldiers are those that draw they go out on the street and witness and testify. They don't want to really be there, some of them. And so they pray to come back over to a place where they could just eat, sleep, and, you know, go to the bathroom, etc., etc. And so the paycheck is what draws them into the, go out on the streets, into the field, the world. This is what gets him into the, quote, war. But they make themselves traitors by assisting him that leads them on against their own prince. They actually will stand up in court against the one that won their souls to the Lord. Say false things if they get a bigger paycheck. And this is the things that the people in the government know. They know that there's weaklings in every camp of the Lord. Jesus, out of 12 people, Jesus had one. There's so many phonies, and they barely work, and if they do any work at all, they think they're geniuses, and that they really don't deserve to be rebuked and reproved for it because they themselves are an entity for themselves. So so they will turn on the one that's feeding, clothing, and housing them. Not even a dog won't do. So they're lower than dogs, and that's why the Lord actually calls them dogs. A lot of people think that Jesus really does not call people names. Why? Read the Bible. He calls them dogs, pigs, vipers. You are of your father, the devil. He tells people, he shoots it straight from the hip. He knows how a person is, and he tells them exactly what they are. They're devils, and they're feasting with you, you people that are of the Lord in your camps. And it will not serve the term for them to say that they fought for their pay. They didn't fight for their pay. They're just a false soldiers. And not because what they do is they try to dethrone the one that's feeding, clothing, and housing them. They keep thinking of different things. They're looking for something because they know they're nothings. And the ones that God is anointing, the one that God is blessing, and the one that God is sending finances in to get the gospel around the world, they're always looking to find fault with people like that. So this is just a thing that is absolutely well known to those that are deep in the Word. And Ahab sold himself, quote, to the work, to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Unquote. These people think that this is 1 Kings 21:20. And yet, when we study, we read, not that he made any express covenant with the devil, but the meaning is he did that which in effect amounted to no less. Because he did the devil's work. And people that are modern-day Achans, you are no different than the Achan that troubled Israel. So if there's weasels or devils in the church, and they're sinning, and the pastor allows them to stay, then the whole camp has to be cursed. I know that the Lord would give me what he said he was going to give me if these people are gone. And Lord, I pray. Let's go to the throne. I pray, Lord, that you move all these false-hearted people and these fakers out of every church on the face of this earth. Lord, that you can bless your church and give it more power in every way, including finances, to where we can get the gospel out all over the world as never before in the history of mankind. Lord, that anoint this service as you are doing right now and continue anointing, Lord, that souls will be saved and the church will come to its senses and become zealous to do your work rather than pray when they're on witnessing cruise after they've been sent to New York, that they will pray to come back in to a town where the people were trying to arouse a lynch mob to lynch them. They missed such a town as this. This town is cursed. So many of the people have died that were involved in this attempt. And I'm still here. And I'm still waiting on the Lord to preserve his church. And therefore, Lord, I ask that you get all the phonies out in Jesus' name. Let souls be saved in the church, strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, my orchestra and choir has a very pertinent message and song for you today. Woe sinner, man, where are you going to run to? And most of these people fell away from the Lord, which shows that, and they were saved. Because you got a bunch of Baptists that say, well, they weren't really saved in the first place. Well, if they were in the book of life and the Lord says, if you backslide, I'll blot your name out of the book of life, they must have been saved, you idiots. Amen?
Yeah.
Why don't you receive the gospel that you're so far into darkness? And the whole body of Christ is cursed because of you twisting and lying to the people, saying you can't backslide because you're sealed in. You're sealed in, but a person can open the envelope and pull you out. God is capable of doing that to you if you're a sinner. So here they are, the Alamo Christian Orchestra and Choir, to sing, Woe, W-O-E, Sinner Man.
Woe!
Praise the Lord. Achan knew, and so did Judas know, and so does everybody in this world that has heard the gospel know, that if you sin, that you're going to pay for it with your soul. That's the price that you have to pay because you love to sin. You love to be idle. You love to undermine the church of God. You love to be an Achan. That's the price you pay, is your soul. And, you know, the Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? In other words, if you got to do all the lusts that you like to do. And it's such a heinous crime, because what it is it shows that you're a doubter. You doubt that God is looking down from heaven and knows everything that you're doing, even if you go into your bathroom and do it, or you go into your bedroom and lock the door. The Lord, the Bible says that He fills everything. He's everywhere. And He puts everything that you've done, whether it's good or bad, down in books in the kingdom of heaven. And when you've done so much and you continue doing it, that means that your soul, that your conscience in your soul has been seared. The Bible says that when it says heart, it means this is your conscience. And there is a book of conscience. And people that have a conscience are very fortunate, because the Holy Spirit is able to convict them of sin and to make them to know that there's a God, because they can feel the Holy Spirit convicting them of doing something in their room or in their bathroom or wherever they are, or even if they're downtown, and their minds are lusting because they don't think that God knows. And this really makes God angry, because it's like you're saying, you're spitting in His face saying, "You can't see me." It shows that you don't have any faith. And those that have faith to keep their spirit and to keep their conscience clean, so that their conscience doesn't point at them, point their finger at their sin all the time. Because they don't believe that if you break one sin, they have a favorite sin. And they just say, well, you know, God knows that I love to sin this way. I have a lust. My favorite lust, and that's what I do. That's what, I do. I do enough work for the Lord that I can sin. I've done enough for Him. This is it. I'm calling a show. We had a person that used to do our tapes and sent them around and things like that, and they said, I have served the Lord so many years, and now I'm going to dedicate my life to my children. I've served Him enough. And then they began attacking the church. So this was an Achan in the church, and there were many of them, like this whole choir and this orchestra. Most of them were saved, and a lot of them were Achans. Many of them stood up in court against me, saying things that were absolutely false. They said I was keeping a double set of books. I haven't got time. I don't even do the books. And I certainly have never instructed anybody to keep an extra books. And when it came down to the reality of it, the district attorney hid the books. We turned everything over to him, and he hid it and said to the jury that I hid the books. And after the court case, it was revealed that he was the one that hid them, but they never exonerated me from that false, for that railroad job they did to me. They sent me away for 6 years. I got out for 4 years with good behavior on an IRS charge. Now, the IRS doesn't even know everything that's in their books, and what they did is they just railroaded me, and the way they did it is they used people that were in the church, these false soldiers, so to speak. The ones that were here for their food, they were commoners, they were hirelings. They were out on the street, broke, dying of malnutrition. They had all kinds of diseases. Many of them today, they start talking to you, you can see the bile come up in their mouth because of the hepatitis that they have, green bile coming into the mouth. The common soldier ordinarily looks no higher than his paycheck. They got the food, and while they would be eating at the table with their hepatitis, God never healed them. He never healed them because they were sinners. You have to be born again of the Spirit and really full force with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with the energy and the zeal. Not asked to go witnessing to New York or to Israel or to Russia or to any place. And to, I'm praying to come back. I don't like it out here because I miss this little town of Fouk, where the people wanted to lynch you idiots. You're stupid. And you're like Achans. No, I really want the things that the Lord promised me. He promised me $1 trillion because I promised him that I'd use it all for the gospel. I use what comes in for the gospel. Amen? To win souls. And I do that, and I help people wherever I see that help is needed. But these false people are going to pay for this with their souls, because the Bible says that they're Achans. They're like Judases. The Bible stated that in the last days, people would betray one another. Brothers would betray brothers. Well, they were brothers at one time, and that's why the Lord had to blot their names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't the Bible say that?
Yes.
And he'll blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, too, if you don't get going. He said he'll spit you out of his mouth if you don't become zealous. Some people think that, you know, they're in this church for years and it keeps going on and on and on. They don't. They think it's going to be that way always, but they're wrong. God will change things in a moment, and he'll cause you to leave. He'll cause you to leave, and he will open up doors and send the rest of us all over the world. My choice to go, but of course I don't go by my choice. Whatever the Lord wants is my choice. I'd love to be in Israel. But I just love to be wherever the Lord wants me to be. So you people are going to pay for it with your souls. What would it profit a man or a person if they gained the whole world and got all the lusts that you wanted? You got all the rest. Some people complain because they only got 7 or 8 hours sleep. I usually get by on about 3 to 6 hours sleep at the max. And I never murmur about it. My God, I can't wait to get up and start doing something for the Lord. But they love to. This is not like fake soldiers. Amen? That's all they're looking for is to, what's for supper, what's for dinner. Oink, oink. That's their paycheck, and they're going to pay for it with their soul. Now, these kind of people don't believe that, because the whole Bible says that. Amen?
Yeah.
The soul that sins, the soul that is not zealous to do God's work, is not zealous to keep their mind on him, not zealous to give him all your heart, A-L-L, all your soul, all your heart, soul, mind, A-L-L, and your body, your life. They don't believe that they should do that, but they think they should be in a bathroom doing secret sins, or in their bedroom, or on the streets with their mind stayed upon different people of the opposite sex, because their minds are reprobates. They're always, the Bible says, committing adultery in their hearts and in their minds. It doesn't hurt me. You're the ones that are going to pay for it. And how do you mean pay? Your soul is going to pay for it. It's going to burn in hell in the lake of fire forever, you idiots. Don't you believe the Lord? No, is the answer. Okay, that's why I work constantly, all right? If I'm not working, I'm studying what's going on the television, on radio, on different manuscripts that come in here. I study the Bible. I keep it going all night long. So he should pay for this, pay his soul for it. And he would have, so that he could have his lust, so that you could have your lust, so Achan could have his lust. He lusted after gold, when in fact the when the streets of gold are lined, the streets of heaven are lined with gold, he had to get a little wedge of it, since his soul would be lost forever. Susie talked to a woman that said that she had a vision of hell, and all she wanted was money and a fur coat, a stupid fur coat probably taken off of a dog or some other ridiculous animal. And so she saw a vision of herself in hell, and this fur coat was on her, and it was burning, and she kept trying to pull it off, and she had hands full of money, and the money was burning her, and she couldn't get rid of it. She couldn't shake it loose. And their shoes were burning her feet, and she couldn't take them off. And, you know, just everything that she had, she was burning and burning. But, of course, people don't believe that. They say there's nobody that's ever come back from hell or from heaven. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Nobody's ever seen that Jesus really rose from the dead. I did. And thousands of people, maybe millions, have seen him. I saw him right before my eyes, wide open. And I know he's risen from the dead. And therefore, this makes me an apostle. Anyone that can testify that they saw Jesus, that he has risen from the dead, they happen to be apostles. All right? That's what it says in the Bible. So you'll have your lust, all of you, you'll have your lust, but let me tell you something that the Bible says. The Bible says you're going to pay for your lust with your soul. So have fun, kiddies. Have fun with your lust, because that's all you'll ever have on the face of this earth. Notwithstanding, you people are acquainted with the price of what a sinner pays. Somebody that's not zealous, not being zealous is a sin. Not having your heart, soul, mind, and strength stayed upon the Lord is sin. Not being zealous, I say, the Lord says he'll spit you out of his body because it's so sinful to him, it's so repugnant to him, any lukewarm, placid, boring type person that just sits around and stares and looks for some kind of opportunity for them to have illicit sexual acts. So you people are acquainted with the price of your lust. And therefore, interpretively, you people sell your soul that you might enjoy your sins. You have filthy sins. People want to go to New York to see the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, 42nd and Broadway. I'd live there for years. Macy's, the Macy Day Parade. But after they get their eyes full of their whatever they lusted to see there, they don't want to distribute literature and pass out tracts and win souls and pray them through. And there's no delight in their eyes or in their face to win souls. I remember my late wife, Susie, she just loved to go out on the street and witness and testify. And at first I didn't, because I was a young baby Christian. I didn't know that this is what the Lord wanted. But when I found out, I actually stayed on the street longer than I was supposed to. And the Lord rebuked me for it one night. He started rebuking me, and I started crying out to him, because I'm afraid of the Lord. I know that at any given second, he can take your soul out of your body and throw it, especially sinners out there. Throw your soul straight into the pit of hell and then the lake of fire. And once you're there, there's no coming back. You may learn very much from the Word of God that you cannot be a servant to anyone, sin, and be a servant to God at the same time. Jesus says, quote, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon, unquote. Matthew 6:24. By mammon, I mean one instruction of one particular lust. Some people say, well, that means you can't serve God in money. But no, that means you can't serve any particular lust and serve God at the same time. God's not going to let you serve him with a lust in you, because you're not going to have any zeal of you in you to witness to people, because there's lust there. And while you're on the street and you're lusting after every skirt that goes by, or every male person that goes by that meets your lust, this actually is a sin of covetousness, because you're lusting for something that you can't have. Okay? It belongs to somebody else. And the Lord says that you're not to be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. And if you're lusting after people on the street, that's covetousness. You can't be yoked to a person like that. So why are you lusting after them? Some little thing about them that you like? It's just something about you, baby, that I love, I dig, I lust after. One body may well be two souls as one soul. That's what you think, that you have one body, but there's two souls in you, two masters in you. One soul has but one love, and two cannot have the supremacy of it. If you're lusting, if you're saying, I lust for God, I want to do his will and everything, and you're lusting for something else that is called lust in this world, you can't have serve God and have a lust. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, I indeed have heard of a wretch that said he, quote, had one soul for God and another for the devil also, unquote. But if he has one soul in hell, if he has one soul, he's only got one soul, remember. If he has one soul in hell, I'm afraid he will not find another in heaven. Because he had not another for heaven here on earth. Because he knows the scriptures, you cannot serve two masters. If you're lusting and you think that you're goofing on God, this is why people burn in hell forever and God doesn't hear your cries. He doesn't want to see your frustration. He doesn't want to hear your lousy, stinking, vile cries. And one sin will certainly send you thither into hell as a thousand. So if you're just committing one sin, you might as well commit thousands of them, because you're going to hell if you don't repent. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, and the many other things shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. He does not only exclude him that is of any of these. In other words, the Lord doesn't exclude he doesn't exclude any kind of sin. Amen?
Yeah.
No matter what sin you do, even if you do thousands of them, or if you just do one, you're going to hell. Well, how could a just and merciful God? Oh, you're bringing an accusation against God now. A just and merciful God tells you that if you commit one sin, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's the kind of God he is, and what are you going to do about it? There isn't anything you can do to change God. You're the one, and I'm the one that has to change. Isn't that right? We have to be humble before God, not man.
Amen.
We're not supposed to follow the instructions of others, but we're to follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You're supposed to follow the one that the Lord has that's carrying the lamp or the lantern that has the light of God in them on this earth, because God set him that way over you. And that's what I do, is I carry the lantern, the lamp. It is certain all men shall die. You're going to die. No matter if you may not think you're going to die, but it's for sure your body is going to be a corpse. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It is for certain. It's certain, God said. All men shall die, but all do not die of the same disease, do they?
No.
Are you sure of that? Somebody said no. Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know that much, huh? Some people die of cancer, some leukemia. Some get hit by cars. Some God just extracts the breath out of their nose and they're dead. And there's thousands of diseases today, AIDS. You know all the others. So they don't say everyone dies, but not all of the same disease. As certain, all impenitent sinners, all those that don't repent, shall be damned. That's just how sure that is. But one is damned for one sin, and another, a second one, or a other, or a third and fourth and fifth, all meet at last in the same hell. All sinners are going to hell, whether you commit one sin or many. So if you want to go to hell and you know you're going there anyway, why don't you just commit every one of them? Well, that one just doesn't appeal to me, being a homosexual. Well, you're going to hell anyway. And you homos, you know. You have these different sex changes operations and stuff. What do you think you're going to do before God, you freak? Oh, God. You're so sick. Satan tempts to sin by opportunity given for committing it in secret. So you get an opportunity to commit sin by going into your bathroom, or in the car, or in your kitchen when nobody's there, or in your house somewhere, your bedroom. So this is the second instruction for that. For instance, maybe you are tempted to sin by an opportunity. You think that God has given you an opportunity to sin and that he'll shut his eyes to it. By committing in secret, where you shall not pay the loss of your credit for the purchase of your pleasure. So you think you're not going to pay the price of your soul for the purchase. You're paying your soul for the purpose, for the purchase of your pleasure. It's so pleasurable, Lord. Can't I have some pleasure on this earth? People that really love the Lord have pleasure in his spirit, okay? They don't go after the spirit. That's how I can tell a lot of singers. You know, I choose the songs that I play very well. I pay a lot of attention to the different songs because, you know, they can be the biggest name singers in the world. I don't feel any spirit of God in them. I'm not going to play them on my radio program, okay? This is the same snare. The simple young man's foot was taken in Proverbs 7:18. His trumpets tells him, quote, the good man was away from home. No one will know. That's where the woman was telling that this prostitute was telling him. The coast is clear. Come on, take off your clothes. They might drink their stolen waters without fear of being indicted for their theft. Also, too many, alas, whom shame of the world keeps from knocking at the front door. I mean, I'm ashamed of the world. Amen? I'm not going to knock on the door of a stinking whore, a slut. And if I were begotten by a slut, which I wasn't, I certainly wouldn't protect her unholy name. Do you? If you are, you're a sinner. You're a rotten sinner. What I'm saying is that so many people who will not sin in front of people are easily persuaded by Satan to sin if they may slip away in at the back door. You know who you are. You're not getting by with anything, saith the Lord. Saul himself, though ashamed to go to a witch, I'm talking about King Saul in the Old Testament, he was ashamed to go to a witch in his princely robe. He was the king. He wouldn't go there dressed up like a king because he had possessed the world with an opinion of his hatred of that sin by putting such to death. He put many witches to death. Yet is not afraid to go in to one of them, one of those witches. Therefore, as it is added much to the weight of the temptation with which the devil assaulted Christ, but he came to him in the wilderness and solitude, came to him to in a private meeting. No one's watching, Jesus. No one's watching. Just bow down before me and worship me, and I'll give you everything in the world. I'll make you the first pope. Yes, he did it in secret, acknowledging of him where no one could tell. There's no such thing as show and tell. Have you got that article, Show and Tell? Yeah, I want you to read that, okay? Tales. Oh, all these tales of what passed went on between them. So it does to the glory of God, of the complete victory which Christ got over Satan in them all. And how did he do it? How did Christ get the victory? But by his sword of the word of God. That's why you have no victory at all if you don't know the word of God. Is that now how? Is that how? Well then, take you for instance, O Christian. Therefore, the same weapon you must raise up to defend yourself against the very same enemy. It's no different. Okay, we have letters?
Yes.
I'm going to just let you mull over in your minds and your heart and soul the things that I said while we read a couple of letters here. And then Sharon's going to read something about the school system today, how little four-year-old kids are, you'll see, well, she'll read it later. Go ahead, read.
From Suyana, Peru. Brother Pastor Tony Alamo, we send our greetings from the Brethren of Suyana. We always remember you in our prayers. We over here are trying to make the work of God bigger. Our church has grown in various areas where we are carrying the word of God. God is being glorified all the time while testifying through your literature. Please send me more of your literature to those who need it spiritually. God bless you, Andre from Suyana, Peru.
Okay, do you have another one?
Yes, from Lusaka, Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, Calvary greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hoping that this letter has reached you safely and that the Lord God Almighty is keeping you in good health, greet everyone in the Lord's family. Here in Zambia, the Lord has been so faithful in transforming the lives of more and more people. It's amazing that a lot of people have been wanting to have a copy of the book you sent to me entitled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy because of its contents. Pastor, you are a blessing to me, and may the grace of the Almighty God continue resting upon your life. You don't compromise, but you speak the truth to the world. Pastor, I like your literature, and through the time I have been having with fellow Christians sharing the word with them, I tell you that I have seen God intervening and changing their lives. Fellow Christian friends have been requesting to receive Bibles from you, including those newly transformed believers in the Lord. So it is for this reason that I am hereby requesting you to send some Bibles, along with some Messiah books and more of your Christian literature, to help these fellow Christians in their daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yours faithfully, Isaac, from Lusaka, Zambia, Africa.
Oh, praise the Lord. Those are very good letters. Now, the Word of God will tell you that God is aware to your most secret sins. He's aware of everything you do. And while you're committing those sins, why don't you call on the Lord and ask Him, Lord, do you see what I'm doing here? Do you see me sinning? Quote, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. That's the Bible. Psalms 90, verse 8. They are as plainly seen by the Lord as anything can be by us at noonday. No, He does not only see and know them, but He sees them before Him as a mark to shoot His arrows of vengeance at. Now, I'm saying this, these things, because just to give you an idea, parents are not, they're sending their kids to private schools, and they don't pay any attention to the kind of people that are educating their children and that are watching them during the day. And here is an article that appeared in Newsweek.
Yes.
We just received it today. Okay, read it to them. It's talking about little four-year-old kids having sex in schools, and it's been going on for a long time. Even 50 years ago, this has been going on. So anybody that thinks they could fool God, they can't even fool me with that kind of stuff. I keep a total separation in my church of the men, the women, the boys, and the girls. Go ahead, read it.
In trouble for show and tell. For DeMarcus Blackwell, having the, quote, sex talk, unquote, with his 15-year-old son was, quote, kind of embarrassing, unquote.
A little bit faster.
But that was nothing compared with the idea of explaining sexual harassment to his preschooler. Quote, he doesn't have the slightest clue about sex, anything, unquote, says Blackwell of Waco, Texas, whose 4-year-old son, Christopher, was suspended last year for sexual harassment when a female school aide reported that the child buried his face in her chest when she hugged him. Quote, how do you explain what's a better kind of hug? Unquote. Blackwell is one of a number of parents whose kindergartners and first graders are being suspended, often for days at a time, for sexual misconduct based on behavior like hugging, poking, and pinching classmates or school staff. In Ohio, 74 first graders were suspended for, quote, unwelcome sexual conduct, unquote, last year, up from 52 in 2005. In Virginia, at least 13 kindergartners have been suspended in each of the last 3 years for, quote, sexual touching, unquote. Massachusetts and Maryland also note recent increases in rates of pint-size offenders. Some educational professionals are shocked that states are even collecting data about sexual harassment among children so young. Quote, for real? I'm suddenly scared that my daughter shows her panties all the time, says Amy Rezanico of the Arizona Department of Education, whose 4-year-old has a habit of lifting her skirt over her head in public. In some states, though, the crackdown is a way for schools to hedge against lawsuits for neglecting sexual harassment claims. Quote, a lot of people say, well, it's just elementary age kids, but our culture has a lot of vulgarity in it right now, unquote, says Jim Walsh, a Texas lawyer who trains school officials to spot sexual harassment among students. Administrators, he says, are, quote, unguarded and understandably so, unquote. Experts, however, say the hardline approach is punishing normal developmental behavior. 5- and 6-year-old kids, quote, need to touch, unquote, says Nan Stein, a senior.
Yeah, somebody needs to touch you with a paddle. Give you a good spanking for saying such lewd things. You're the one that's encouraging these kids to have babies and then abort them, to commit fornication and then abort the babies. You flake. I wonder why people even mention this, that kind of stuff. And it's getting so prevalent now that everybody has heard it, and so I might as well tell it. I mean, it's just amazing to most people. Go ahead.
5- and 6-year-old kids need to touch, says Nan Stein, a senior research scientist.
Well, we don't allow it in our church, and they don't need to touch at all. Okay, I've proven that. Okay? We don't have reprobates that I know of teaching in this school. Okay, then what?
Says a senior research scientist at the Wellesley Centers for Women. Whether it's show me yours and I'll show you mine or snapping each other's clothes, Let's not confuse sexual behavior with sexual harassment. Unquote. Blackwell, whose attempted explanation only baffled his son, says that Christopher is asexual. That may have changed since the words sexual harassment entered his vocabulary.
Well, I have a lot of children, and they're not sexual like that. They wait. They've waited. Every one of them that's married now waited until they got married. That's it. So I'm going to read this again. Psalms 90, verse 8. They are as plainly seen by the Lord, all your sins, as anything can be seen in the noonday. No, he does not only see and know them, but he sets them before him as a mark to shoot his arrows of vengeance at. So God is shooting his arrows of vengeance. Now, people wonder, why am I catching these diseases and everything? Because you don't take care of your children. The Bible says that the person that doesn't take care of the children is worse than a what?
Infidel.
And all infidels go to hell. And so if you're worse than an infidel, that means that you're going to the worst part of hell. Proverbs 15, verse 3, quote, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, even in your bathroom, your bedroom, your kitchen, everywhere." The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. As he's, unquote, as he sees when you go into your closet to pray in secret, he sees that also. He knows it. And reward you, you secretly and your sincerity. The Bible says if we pray like the hypocrites do, he doesn't reward that, but he rewards your secrecy and your sincerity. So, the Lord sees when you go to sin in secret as well, and will reward your hypocrisy, but not with any good thing. Okay, we're going to read a little bit from, we've only got about a minute or two here, so fifth chapter of Matthew, where are we?
Verse 21, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not murder, and whosoever shall murder shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment."
Right, because if you hate your brother or sister for no reason at all, it's the same thing as murder. So if a king sitting on his throne scatters away all evil with his eyes, Proverbs 20, verse 8, how much more powerfully will the eye of the Lord God, seen looking on us, chase away the most secret notions that sits upon you in your heart to sin. It would be better that all the entire world would be to see you than God, who has the wrong done to him by the sin that you do or anyone does. So you're doing God wrong when you're sinning secretly or openly. And you're going to have to, God is the one that's going to reward you, but the reward that you're going to get from him, you're not going to like. I see my time is up. And so this is the time when people want to give their hearts to the Lord, that they do it now. And it's so simple to do. All you have to do is repeat this prayer. This is the beginning of salvation. By no means all that there is to it. But say these words to the Lord. And say it right now. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say to the Lord now, I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. Your word says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's me, Lord. I'm doing that right now. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. if thou just praise and thank the Lord and keep praising him and thanking him, and read the King James Version. Now here's Sharon to tell you all how you can receive a copy of program number 495. It's absolutely free. Please mention whether you want a CD or audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord. You'll be very happy that you did. Continue on to these programs so you can grow in the Lord. All right, now we have one of my favorite groups called the Singers Us. The Singers Us. Artists to sing for you. This is an early song for Christmas called Silent Night.
So tender.